Tuesday. Right now, on line number one is the executive director of the AFT in the great state of Pennsylvania, and his name is Ethan Ake Little. Did I get that name correct there, Mr. Little? Is that right?
Yes, you did.
Okay, good. How long have you been executive director there?
So I've been there for about a year, since January of 2020.
Let's see, I read your bio briefly at the top of the show, and boy, I tell you, you got a lot of good credentials. PhD in urban education from Temple University, master's in secondary science education, and a bachelor's in history and political science with a minor in biochemistry. And I guess you were also a biology teacher. I mean, you've had many, many roles. You know what? Talk to me first. I know you want to get into the pandemic and trying to make sure that everybody's safe in the classroom. But you are an assistant director of what's called STEM Academies in the district of Philadelphia. I know that's where you're based. Talk to me about that. And STEM is science, technology, and it's to prepare our students for the future, because, you know, it's all about computers. You know that. how extensive is that in your area, Ethan?
So I would say that STEM as a field in education is really kind of the buzzword. In fact, I joke with a friend of mine, when I was at the school district, they started adding letters on. So there's now art, so it's STEAM. Somebody put reading in there, I think, so it's STREAM. And at one point I joked with my colleague and I said, I think it's just called high school. So, you know, they've been, it just gives you an idea that everybody's getting on the STEM bandwagon. I'll say that that's probably because that's where the money is. And by money, I mean, you know, federal dollars for education, state programs, a lot of foundations, things like that. They're always looking to fund those kind of things. And so,
right.
You know, it is as you said, kind of this wave of tomorrow. And because of that, everybody wants to, everybody in education is always looking for the next buck. And so it's a big big investment that that a lot of districts are trying to catch up in. And I think right now, with everything being virtual, it's probably even going to take on a more significant role.
Yeah, I can see that happening. Well, we're going to get into the budget in the state of Pennsylvania, because it's so important, especially now, because these budgets are being crunched due to the pandemic. A lot of businesses closed down. But first, I want to talk about the pandemic itself and
sure.
Virtual learning, how that adjustment has been, and the gradual reopening of schools. I know a lot of schools are doing this hybrid model. I think in Chicago just yesterday, the teachers there said that they have a plan in place. They're going to go back into the classroom. Where's the state of Pennsylvania at right now, Ethan?
So I will say that Pennsylvania surprisingly went from having a really good COVID plan. In fact, the CDC said last spring it was one of the most well thought out in the country. We use traffic light colors, actually, red, yellow, and green, for reopening the state, to one of the worst. I think we're in the bottom third now in terms of our vaccination plan and things like that. And I say that because, of course, the vaccination process and just in general the reopening process, is the schools are a big part of it. So it's really left up to a lot of individual districts, sometimes counties. Philadelphia is both a city and a county. And that's because the counties are the ones that are, we have 67, are the counties that are responsible for the distribution of the vaccines. So we have always maintained that we are happy to have our folks, and our folks have said, we want to get back into the classroom. The whole virtual thing is a headache. If you can imagine trying to do virtual learning for elementary school students, I don't even know. It sounds almost oxymoronic. But we've always said we're happy to go back into the classroom. We want to go back into the classroom, but we need a real plan. And we obviously have seen that the state of Pennsylvania and a lot of the districts don't really have plans. They've been succumbing to a lot of public or political pressure to reopen. And we've always maintained that, you know, we need something science-based, evidence-based. And we are happy to look at that, but we're not going to, you know, take on something that's sugar-coated and just force it down our members' throats.
So you're basically telling them, all right, we need some kind of a plan, science-based, and something that's got a pretty good formula to it. You've told them that, and they're just not coming up with anything right now? Is that what I'm hearing, Ethan?
Yeah, so I will say that I think one of the things that has going on with schools since the start of the pandemic, and it kind of leads us to where we are, is schools often in a time of crisis, especially, of course, as you can imagine, smaller districts, but larger districts, of course, too, look towards the state and the feds for direction. Obviously, under the Trump administration, it was a very decentralized approach. They kind of said, hey, states, you know, why don't you put in your own lockdown rules and we're not going to try to force it on you. And of course, when the Biden administration took over, they said that they felt that the Trump administration did not leave them really any plans for the vaccination distribution. So in short, I don't think that school administrators or school boards, which tend to be, you know, like elected folks from the community, are really in a position to often make these decisions. They're really, you know, very few of them obviously are going to have a medical or science background. So they look towards the state or the feds for some direction on this. But when you don't have that, it's everybody for themselves, right? And
yeah.
When that starts to happen, all sorts of non-scientific elements, for lack of a better word, start to come into play because, of course, the school board is elected. People call people's homes. People demonstrate. We've noticed that these kind of Facebook groups for parents have been popping up, and sometimes they're even funded in large cities by right-wing groups. So you get the idea that without a real plan, which we have always asked for, you kind of start having a lot of these other forces come into play, and the science behind it gets overwhelmed with a lot of the voices for people who are pushing their own agenda.
That's very unfortunate. Yeah, we've seen that happen all around the country, including here in the state of Ohio. It's really sad, and it's good that at least we have a new administration that looks at this situation with a science-based point of view. I mean, that is so important, and I could hear that. And, you know, your background is that. I mean, you're a biology teacher. You come from a science background, and it shows through the course of this interview. Let's go back to the CARES Act, because obviously – here you had the previous administration saying, you're on your own. I call it the yo-yo effect. You're on your own, all right?
And, that's a great thing. I might steal that, actually, from you.
Not a problem. You can take it. So you're on your own, but what about funding this? That's the thing. And you know, the CARES Act came up with money. I can only assume that you got a chunk of money in the CARES Act, but that was a year ago. Is all that money gone here, or you know, and the new stimulus that they're talking about in Washington? Eventually, something's going to happen. We just don't know what yet. To your knowledge, do you see more money coming your way to get through this thing?
So I'll answer that in two parts: one, which is CARES Act money, and second, which is money that we hope is coming. And it sounds like the process is speeding up, but you know, one never knows. A day in Washington is like a year. So with the CARES Act money, yes, that the Pennsylvania legislature did, I think, something that was commendable, quite frankly, I'll say, which was in the spring, they had said when the CARES Act was passed, listen, we budgeted for a normal school year. We budgeted for everybody that was on the books. So everybody's got to stay on the books until the 30th of June. And that was the commitment we made. Obviously, at the time, we thought that the lockdown wasn't going to go on basically ad infinitum. And the idea was is that even if you, because the schools get laid off, you know, you can imagine that there's really cafeteria workers aren't working in an empty building, or bus drivers don't have school students to move back and forth, that the state said, you know, you got to find work for those folks. They're you can't let them go. And because we've already allocated for them, and you can't, you know, at that time it was, the concern was, as I'm sure everybody had, that the economy was going to take a serious nosedive. So in that sense, I really commend the General Assembly for, you know, sticking behind that. Mm-hmm. The CARES Act money came in, and I mentioned that because after June 30th, there's no 31st day in June, after June 30th, it was all bets are off. And we got $5 billion, actually, we probably got a little more than that from the CARES Act money in terms of the states for schools and public infrastructure and things like that. But from what I remember is that there was a audit that was done later on in the summer, probably early fall, where there was $1 billion of CARE Act money that was unused, but the General Assembly used it to plug its budget. It has a $5 billion gaping hole in the general fund, as they call it, the operating budget, and they used $1 billion of the CARES Act money. So in a way, the current situation we have with school reopening, where we have asked for at least things like personal protective equipment, something about having some sort of supports in place, maybe even school nurses, because that's been an issue that's been ongoing in a lot of our city, big and large cities, Philadelphia, Pittsburgh, Scranton, those kind of areas. They've always, before we went into this, didn't have sufficient support personnel. So we thought that that would be a better use for $1 billion, since that's what it was earmarked for.
Right.
The General Assembly thought otherwise. So we're hoping that leads to this current bill, is that the Biden administration has said, well, we want to really have targeted funds. I believe the president came out last week and said that opening schools or having schools close is a national emergency, and so opening them is a national priority. So we're hoping that there is, it's not an unfunded mandate, you know, that their money is there and it can't really be used. It's specifically earmarked for that and not for other projects.
That's what you have to do. You got to be real specific. That's good to good to hear. Ethan, I got to take a break. Ethan Akelittle is his name, and he is the executive director of the American Federation of Teachers in the state of Pennsylvania. I should give you the website. It's pa.aft.org, pa.aft.org. And you can also follow him on Facebook. Just go to Facebook, and that would be /AFTPA Union. And you can follow them on Twitter. Twitter would be AFTPA. A lot of ways you can find out about the American Federation of Teachers in Pennsylvania. Later in the show, Desiree Hoffman will be joining us on behalf of the UAW. This is a significant day in history for the UAW. I'll talk about that later in the show. Back in a few minutes.
This is America's Workforce. More shows available at awfradio.com.
It takes LIUNA to power North America with affordable energy. The men and women of LIUNA, the Laborers International Union of North America, have the skills needed to build and maintain oil, natural gas, nuclear, solar, and wind projects that are shaping America's energy future. From new energy tech to retrofitted facilities, LIUNA members do it all. Find out what it takes to be powered by LIUNA at LIUNA.org. That's LIUNA.
America's Workforce Radio is sponsored in part by the International Union of Painters and Allied Trades, District Council 6, representing painters, glazers, drywall finishers, and sign and display industry workers. They remind you that belonging to a union is your right as an American.
The United Steelworkers of America represent over 70,000 workers in the state of Ohio. Steelworker members enjoy the benefits of some of the best contracts of any workers in the world. many of your friends, neighbors, and relatives are members of one of the most effective democratic unions in our country. With the pressures unorganized workers are under in today's economy, you need to join them. So call the Steelworkers Organizing Office at 216-292-5683 or toll free at 1-800-443-3752.
America's Workforce appreciates our sponsor, the Columbus Central Ohio Building and Construction Trades Council, who represents more than 18,000 workers from 19 affiliated local unions and district councils.
Now, back to America's Workforce. Here's Ed Flash Ferens.
And welcome back to the show. Don't forget, you can check us out on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter. Twitter handle at AWF Union Podcast. Let's go back to our live line rejoin. Ethan Ake Little. Ethan is the executive director of the American Federation of Teachers in the state of Pennsylvania. We're talking 26,500 members across 55 locals. All right, enough on the virus and trying to reopen schools as safely as possible. I'd like to talk about a couple of other things. Obviously, organizing. We're seeing more organizing because of the pandemic, and also funding for schools and this fight over charter schools. I can speak. We record the show in Cleveland, Ohio, and I'll tell you, some of the charter schools, in one case some years ago, the FBI raided a charter school in Cincinnati because it was so bad. Lack of accountability. Is the same kind of thing going on in Pennsylvania, Ethan?
Yeah. I would say we probably are right in competition with you guys over who has the worst charter school approach. Pennsylvania is actually, I think our auditor general said that we have the worst accountability law for charters in the country. So, you know, I don't. It sounds like you guys are doing a better job than us.
So what about funding here? Because there's a tug of war going on between the public schools and the charters. You got a lot of these lawmakers, very conservative ones, saying, oh, no, public schools, they got teachers' unions, those radical agendas. You've heard all those stories.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
It's the same kind of scenario happening in Pennsylvania?
Yeah, so I will tell you that, you know, just it's very interesting to see the makeup of our General Assembly, because those very conservative members who come from who are saying that, you know, they're very pro-charter. What I find interesting is that they don't have their children in charter schools. They either have their children in very high-end public schools or that they have their kids in private schools. So it's a very interesting kind of, you know, do as I say but not as I do.
Right,
with them. Yes, I think that there is this kind of narrative gone around. Maybe the narrative is something that the charters themselves have been, I will say, pretty good at in their advertising. Maybe the narrative is just because, you know, teachers' unions are basically the spawn of Satan and therefore they must be opposed at all costs. Whatever that narrative is that's going around amongst conservatives, it's very interesting, both from, obviously, our point as AFT, but also just in, even when I was a graduate student, kind of seeing the double standard in terms of accountability. They're very happy to loosen accountability for charters, but then tighten them on public schools.
Yeah, yeah.
For example, they'll say that, oh, the teachers' unions are in the way of progress in public schools. But what's very fascinating is that it takes forever and a day, and as you just pointed out, the FBI has to get involved, which you don't to shut down a charter school, which, you know, very rarely happens in a public school system. So it's a very interesting double standard that isn't really grounded in reality.
Yeah, I'm just hoping with a new education secretary that whole formula will change. I mean, we need some leadership from the top, and maybe that will sprinkle down. I know there's some pockets of resistance all around the country, and that includes your state, which is the state of Pennsylvania. Let's talk about organizing, and you've seen pockets of organizing all around the country. I mean, even outside of the teachers' unions. But I'm just wondering what's going on there, because in the charter schools, for instance, they start these charter schools and there's no union involved. Now, we're seeing some organizing in various charters. Is any of that happening in Pennsylvania?
Yes, we've actually seen an uptick in charters organizing. We've seen an uptick in what we would call non-traditional district schools, so sometimes private schools. We've even had a couple of religious schools come to us, which is very interesting, because there's a whole different process to that because of the NLRB isn't involved in religious institutions because of the First Amendment. And so it's a fascinating time to be alive, as they say, for us in labor, because I think the pandemic has probably shown people what we in the labor movement have known for so long, which is it's a precarious existence, right? And any kind of punch to the gut really throws everybody off, the whole system off. And that's what 2020 was, on many levels, not just with the pandemic, but it was a big punch to the gut. And so with charters, with a lot of these non-traditional ones, I think maybe they were keeping it together. Maybe they thought that they had just learned to live with the way it was. Maybe they didn't think it was a possibility. And so they didn't really see it around them. So it wasn't something that came to their forefront. But we have definitely seen that. And it's an interesting situation for us in the sense that how do we support, quite frankly, a place that could go under, right? I mean, these are places sometimes which many times either formally or informally will say that they exist to make a profit or at sometimes to basically the evil teachers unions, which really is a nice way of saying they make us pay them more with better benefits. And if we organize them, the question is, will they survive?
Yeah, Ethan, I think we're seeing that scenario play out all around America, not just in Pennsylvania. One more question here. Teacher evaluations. A lot of people in the legislature are saying, oh, the teachers, there's bad teachers out there. They're not doing their job, and the union is protecting them. I'm sure you've heard those those stories before. And then there's the words merit pay. You know, well, the teachers that are doing a better job, they'll get more money, and those that aren't, well, that's just too bad, and maybe we should get rid of them. How do you respond to something like that? I'm sure you're not new to that argument.
No, I chuckle because it almost seems like that they're coming from, they have like some sort of elevator speech ready to go, right? Because I hear that that narrative so many times that at this point I think that they've read it somewhere without even thinking about what that means. So I will say that, you know, we at AFT have always believed that we want our teachers to succeed in the workplace. I mean, we're not there to let me put it this way. A teacher who does not perform well, whatever that means, nobody wants to see a person struggle in their workplace. We, the union, don't want to. Obviously, the school administrators don't want to. And of course, it affects students and their parents. So I want to put to bed that idea that somehow we're just, you know, this demonic place that's trying to keep everybody who doesn't want to be in there. I think teaching is probably very different than most professions in that I would even call it a vocation. It's a calling, right?
Yeah.
I would say, especially after 2020, people are realizing that more so than ever. But maybe, for instance, being a, not to pick out a marketing director, but a marketing director may or may not be a calling, right? It may be a job. It may be a stepping stone to something else. I don't know of any teacher, maybe I'm wrong, there's millions of teachers in this country. I don't know of any teacher who goes into it not wanting children, not liking children, right?
Yeah.
That just seems like an odd thing, an odd profession to be called to do if you don't care for kids. Or even your subject matter, which then would, you know, this idea that they're just sitting there like reading papers just sounds almost like comical. So I would say that there is a narrative that's there. We have always advocated for more teacher voice, for more teacher autonomy, for more teacher leadership. None of those things are things that we've ever, since we were founded in 1916, we've been pushing for that. Just because the system doesn't allow or doesn't want us to have more of a say doesn't mean that somehow we've become disengaged, that we somehow are sitting there with our hands folded in our seats and just letting the whole classroom go to hell. That's never been our approach. We're more than happy to find ways where teachers can become more involved. And that requires, I think, as we've mentioned throughout, whether it's the legislature or the government, that requires the other side management to really have a plan about what they want to see from teachers and the schools. And if all of it is at the end of the day is, we want you to just work, put your nose to the axe and just, you know, or maybe I'm screwing up that metaphor, but we just want them to shut up, sit down, do what they're supposed to do and go home. That's not what teaching is.
I like that answer. I really appreciate your comments. A lot of insight there, Ethan. Thank you very much for the interview. I'm going to have to run along here. Ethan Ake Little is his name. He's the executive director of the American Federation of Teachers in the state of Pennsylvania. Website, pa.aft.org. Ethan, take care. Stay in touch and be safe, all right?
Thank you so much.
All right, we're going to take a quick break.